A breakthrough of sorts in the U.S.-China trade spat. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. An agreement in principle to simultaneously remove some tariffs in phases, that's what China's Commerce Ministry says it's reached with the U.S. to resolve its ongoing trade dispute. The BBC's Celia Hatton explains, though, the details are still fuzzy.
There has been a convoluted announcement, I'll say, coming from an update from the Chinese Commerce Ministry. He indicated that China and the United States have agreed to cancel certain tariffs in phases. But then he kind of made other statements that maybe indicate that it's not a complete agreement. So there are questions as to how firm this agreement really is.
And is there any indication on time or what tariffs might be removed?
No, we don't know whether this refers to tariffs that were set to come in place on December the 1st, or whether he means tariffs that are already in place.
Maybe there will be more from the U.S. this morning. Meanwhile, there's another potential sign of further cooperation between the two countries on punishment for fentanyl smuggling.
That's right. So 9 people have been jailed in China. Washington has long pushed Beijing to crack down on fentanyl production. Now, the Chinese authorities say that they are trying to do a lot, and they say that they shouldn't be the ones blamed in total for the fentanyl problem. But yes, this one case where the U.S. authorities notified the Chinese authorities of one dealer, the U.S. authorities then placed a fake deal with her. And when it was carried out, the Chinese police then went in and arrested what the U.S. authorities said was an extraordinary number of people.
The BBC's Celia Hatton, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are higher on optimism for a U.S.-China trade truce. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is up 0.4% after Asia's benchmarks finished in the green. Meanwhile, shares of German airline Lufthansa are up nearly 9% this morning after it reported better-than-expected earnings, fueled in part by a turnaround of its budget carrier Eurowings. Still, shares have lost nearly half their value since the start of last year. Equal pay in the world of sports was thrust into the global spotlight during this summer's Women's World Cup in France. This week, Australia's women's soccer team struck an historic deal to level the playing field with their male counterparts. The BBC's Will Bain reports.
I couldn't be more proud.
Remember this?
USA, equal pay.
The US women's national team star Megan Rapinoe addressing fans during the team's ticker tape parade through New York City. The demand after winning a World Cup was simple, equal pay to their men's national team colleagues. So the latest news from Australia is being seen as a major breakthrough in that fight, as the male and female soccer players, the Socceroos and Matildas, struck a deal in their collective bargaining agreement with the Australian Federation to get equal pay when representing the national team. Sports journalist Samantha Lewis in Sydney explained more.
All revenue streams from both senior national teams, including commercial revenue, prize money, match money, will go into one big pool, and then both teams will get an equal share of a percentage of that single pool of money. The Matildas will also now receive the same access to facilities, coaching and support staff, and business class flights while on national team duty.
Elise Keller-Knight was part of the Australian team which reached the last 16 of that World Cup this summer and gave us her reaction.
Absolutely enormous for us. This new deal will see the females in the top tier have a 90% pay increase. Our male counterparts had to be so supportive of this. This would not have gone ahead without their full support.
Australia now joins New Zealand and Norway in placing male and female players on the same pay scale. Whether more nations now follow suit remains to be seen.
The BBC's Will Bain reporting there. To Ireland, a few hours south of Dublin now, where this afternoon an unusual festival kicks off. Kilkenomics, named after Kilkenny, the city that plays host, mixes prize-winning economists with former finance ministers and comedians. The BBC's Audrey Tinlan takes up a stool in a cozy pub to tell us more.
It's traditional Irish music night here in Clare's Bar, but for the rest of the weekend, this pub and many others in this town will be host to economists and thinkers who are flying in from the USA, Europe and beyond. This year, Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Krugman and the former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis are amongst those who are making their way here. Clare's landlord Johnny Holden says it's all great for business.
The Kilkenomics brings a couple of thousand people to Kilkenny with a population of 28,000. So it helps to fill up a lot of bedrooms. There's a lot of restaurants are busy.
It all started a decade ago in the depths of the financial crisis when the leading Irish economist David McWilliams and friends had the idea of explaining economics after the global financial crash. And to make it all easier to digest, he called in a bunch of up-and-coming comedians, including his friend Colm O'Regan.
It's the ability to ask a stupid question. We don't mind looking stupid on stage, and often the simple question has the most interesting answer.
10 years on from the financial crash, Ireland's economy is doing well again. But with the uncertainty of Brexit ahead, many people here are still eager to hear more about how the headwinds of global economics can affect them.
The gap between the rich and the poor is widening every day, but the poor are being left behind.
2008, I was 8. So I was just hearing all this depressing information. To me, it's better than it ever was, but again, the lads are older than me, they've seen it when times were much better.
So what better way to learn more about economics and geopolitics while enjoying a Guinness at the same time? In Kilkenny, I'm the BBC's Audrey Tinlin for Marketplace.
Well, a Guinness there in Kilkenny or a bottle of cognac, 900 bottles of truly vintage French liqueur, have been recovered from a sunken German U-boat. Designed for Russian Tsar Nicholas I, many bottles lost 100 years ago still have the original wax seals. Some even can trace their roots back to French Benedictine monks. The question is, how's it taste after being under the sea for a century? In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.